4. Do we have the energy to change the world? This article was originally written for the Global Bimpulse magazine, to accompany a 2012 conference in Hilversum, Netherlands. The magazine and the conference were about breakthrough energy technologies and what was being developed and how they would affect the world. The focus of this article is the same as the focus of this whole book, the connection between classified free energy technologies and the events of 9/11. It was part of my ongoing attempts to illustrate the importance of this to people and get them to think about the cover-up. Most people realize that our ability to access energy sources safely, responsibly and cheaply is fundamental to our technological progress as a society. Outside of events like this, a rather limited mindset is present. Even within groups like this, it is assumed that energy supplies are limited by certain factors, primarily the availability of fuel, or where energy is said to be renewable, then it is limited by environmental factors such as the amount of solar radiation, amount of wind, water flow, etc. In my own lifetime, I have seen the various factors played off against each other, all set in what I call a paradigm of scarcity. A great many doom-laden forecasts have suggested that our technological progress will be arrested quite abruptly. In the period of about 2003 to 2005, for example, it again became fashionable to talk about peak oil. Now, hardly anyone is talking about peak oil. The issues of energy and the environment are now fully woven together in the public mindset, because it has been programmed into people that the only way to get the majority of our energy is, essentially, by destroying the environment in some way. This then causes the existence of an environmental movement which at one time was just vocal in criticizing the way energy is derived from fuel-based sources. Now, however, it sets government policy in many countries and forces certain controls to be placed on energy usage. However, behind this green mask lies a darker agenda, one of control of our freedom. Without a complete view of the energy picture, the control agenda appears sensible and benign, but when more obscure histories from the last 100 years or so are studied in depth, an insidious cover-up can be observed. Many people have discussed aspects of this cover-up, but only a very small number of people, including myself, have connected this cover-up to what has become known as the War on Terror. Indeed, others have appropriately reused this cliché to describe that what we are involved in is a war on terror, that is that some group somewhere has co-opted us into helping us to destroy our own environment. In my presentation at BIM, I hope to illustrate clearly how this energy cover-up is more far-reaching than most will discuss or acknowledge. In the 11 years, arguably longer, since Dr. Judy Wood first connected the evidence seen in the aftermath of the events of 9/11 to energy phenomena, the number of people openly discussing this evidence is small. The number of people wishing to cover up knowledge of this, now obvious, link is much larger than I would have expected, and it seems that a comprehensive program has been underway, for some time, which seemingly rolls out new personnel and new strategies to help manage the cover-up. In 2003, I discovered Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project and it confirmed two things for me. Firstly, it confirmed that the UFO cover-up was real and secondly that there was a clear link between the UFO phenomenon and free energy. The evidence indicates some groups appear to have access to advanced propulsion technology, which uses an unconventional energy source. Nick Cook's book The Hunt for Zero Point discusses the links between free energy and anti-gravity through the work of people like Thomas Townsend Brown. In 2006, I became familiar with Dr. Judy Wood's investigation into the destruction of the World Trade Center on the 11th of September, and this proved that some type of energy weapon was used to destroy most of the WTC complex on the 11th of September. In late 2007 and early 2008, more information was discovered showing the connection between the effects seen in the WTC evidence and the work of Canadian experimental researcher John Hutchison, see www.thehutchisoneffect.com. This resulted in ongoing character attacks against John Hutchison, Dr. Judy Wood and to a lesser extent, myself. Weeks later, Dr. Wood began to document the peculiarly synchronous presence and movement of Hurricane Erin near NYC with the events of 9/11, as they unfolded. So now, climate data were linked to the energy effects seen on the 11th of September, primarily at the WTC. At this point, the reason for the implementation of Stephen E. Jones as a figurehead in the 9/11 research community had already become clear. However, with certain effects, such as transmutation of elements, being observed both in John Hutchison's research and what Jones called cold fusion, more correctly called chemically assisted nuclear reactions, CAN, or low-energy nuclear reactions, LEN, it became even clearer, the cover-up needed to be carefully managed. So here we are, 10 years after all those links were all clearly established, and who is talking about them? I wonder if President Dwight Eisenhower tried to warn people about the likelihood of something like 9/11 being perpetrated. Grant Cameron's archival research at www.presidentialufo.com shows that it is extremely likely that Ike was briefed on the UFO issue, at a high level. The USA's secrecy apparatus was well established by the time Eisenhower left office in 1961, and so perhaps it was his fears about this which caused him to state, "The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists, and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes." He also said, "Yet, in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific technological elite." Who are the members of this scientific technological elite he referred to? Perhaps some of them work for ARA and SAIC, two companies that were defendants in Dr. Judy Wood's Key Tam case in 2007. I have argued and pointed out that one of the main reasons that we do not have free energy technology in general use is because such technology has already been weaponized. However, few people will look at the evidence and even fewer will talk about it. For example, I have never heard Dr. Stephen Greer, who, as described earlier, was instrumental in linking together the energy cover-up and UFO cover-up, speak or write, in any meaningful way about 9/11. Further, his own free energy initiatives, Seize Power, Aero 2012 and Project Orion, when scrutinized carefully, do not appear to do what they say on the tin. I found it very interesting to hear what Bruce De Palma, an inventor of another free energy device, called the N-Machine, had to say about free energy and New Age movements, before his death in 1997, see http://www.panaceabocaf.org/brucedeplama.htm. The CIA operates through various innocent-looking fronts, to find out what people are thinking and what they're inventing. Now, what's more innocent than a benign institute, founded on transcendental principles to help New Age inventors bring free energy into the world? In this case, he seems to be referring to the Institute of Netic Sciences, IONS, due to his experiences with the sixth man not to walk on the moon, Edgar Mitchell. If we want widespread use of free energy, we must first realize the obstacles in our way. Some of these obstacles can only be discovered by careful analysis and documentation. As well as solving engineering problems, it must be realized there is some type of system or program in operation which is influencing people in subtle and not so subtle ways. Can this system be circumvented? So, do we have the energy to change the world? Yes, we do, and that has been demonstrated thousands of times in the last 100 years. It was most clearly demonstrated, however, in the destruction of the WTC on the 11th of September, but do we have the energy to make sure that everyone in the world knows this? At this point, it's up to you and me to make sure the job gets done. Part 2. How the cover-up of what happened on the 11th of September is maintained by keep people telling some truth, some half-truth, or anything but the truth. Graphics by Betsy McGee.